Mort. My name is Lisa.
Okay, Lisa.
Okay, my question is it possible to be too nice that I'm pushing my husband away? He left about 3 months ago, and he's the exact opposite, kind of, from what I hear. He's, you know, wants to be my best friend, and, you know, when I call, he answers right away and things like that, but now he's just like, we're not a couple anymore. I don't want to be a couple. I just want to be friends, and I love you that way. So I've been implementing all these things, and it's really worked, and I've changed my whole attitude and love him even more than I possibly imagined. But I'm just wondering if maybe I'm doing too much that I might be pushing him away.
No. I think that's not real good thinking. I don't think that happens. I think that it often looks like that's happening. In other words, I'm not saying you're nuts. I don't think a person can be too nice. A person can't be too good. A person can't be too loving. Your job here is to become the kind of person that your spouse would just be nuts to walk away from. And so any goodness and any love that you can put out there will only, in the end, contribute to that experience, that objective. Now, as I assume you've heard me talk about at different points in the program, very important idea, the reason why it often looks in the short term like maybe you're, quote, pushing him away is because, remember, your spouse is telling themselves a story, and that story is what they've concocted and they're using to justify their plan and to clear their conscience. In Lisa's case, part of her husband's story is that we're going to be nice to each other. We're going to be friends. Yeah, right. I mean, that's the most ridiculously naive thing that I often hear the obstinate spouse say when I have a chance to talk to them. You know, they want to feel good about themselves. They don't want to feel like a jerk. They don't want to feel like a family crusher, someone that's ruining the family. They want to be able to feel decent about themselves. So part of the story they tell themselves is, you know, I'm going to be decent, and we're going to get along, and we're going to be friends. And, you know, they want to feel that they're not ruining anything or anybody's life. The kids are going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. You're going to be okay. We're all going to be friends, you know, and everybody's going to be fine. You know, and it's ridiculously naive. You know, God forbid, post-divorce, you know, people aren't friends. And even if they, you know, they might be co-parents. But other than that, you know, they're not going to be friends, or at least they shouldn't be friends. You know, if God forbid you have to get divorced, you're going to have to move on with your life and move possibly into new relationships. So anyway, getting back to the point, so part of his story is that he's not going to ruin anybody's life, he's not going to make anybody miserable, everything's going to be okay, and we're going to be friends, and that's going to help him feel better. Now, he's going to try to be decent to you and want you to be decent to him in order to facilitate that friendship that's part of his story. And just as there are many obstinate spouses that want absolutely nothing to do with their spouse because they're cutting the cord, they're cutting the ties, and they're moving on in their life, so too, this is another approach that, you know, I'm not going to cut the ties, but I'm going to be friends. But it doesn't matter how you don't cooperate with their story, whether it's the spouse that's dealing with the obstinate spouse that wants to cut the ties and they're not moving on. In other words, the person in the Lone Ranger track is not moving on. They're not detaching. They're not conceding to the divorce. They're not conceding to the fact that the marriage is over, but instead they're staying in there and they're reaching out to connect and they're taking initiative. So just as that frustrates the obstinate spouse and ruins their story and tugs on their conscience, so too here you've got a man who's part of his story is that we're going to be friends. Well, Lisa's probably making lots of efforts to take his decency and the friendship he's offering and really pushing the envelope and trying to use that interaction in what he considers a friendship to create a deeper, more personal, more intimate connection. And I'm sure he feels you taking the momentum that he's offering and running with it. And that is probably going to result in the short term in him, you know, using your description, I think, you know, you're pushing him away. You're not pushing him away. You're pulling him closer. And he feels that. And that concerns him. That scares him. That's not consistent with his plan or his objective. And so he's going to respond in a way that sabotages that effort. I've said before, I'll say it again, it's that important. I don't care what the state of your marriage is this week. I don't care what happens in the short term. My job is to help you get from where you are to where you want to be 6 months from now. And I know, and I'm trying to help you know, that things get worse usually before they get better. And by this point in the program, you should understand why. I have explained the sort of the underlying psychological dynamics that result in that, in why that, that explain why that occurs. So don't be, you have to, I know this is so hard because you're all so delicate emotionally and you're so desperate for some positive signs, you know, that things are turning around. But as you've heard me talk about, you have to be careful not to become seduced by the signs, because very often they'll lead you in the wrong direction. Sometimes signs that things are going well only means that you're complying with your spouse's requests. And if you're in the Lone Ranger track dealing with an obstinate spouse, those requests can't be good. And maybe you shouldn't be complying with them. And on the other side, if you're reaching out to taking a lot of initiative to create connection and build goodwill and trying to move the relationship forward, if you're dealing with a spouse that has a very different agenda, they are not initially going to respond well to that. But that doesn't mean that it won't help. That doesn't mean that it won't work, because those efforts are ruining the story that is necessary for them to exit the marriage. So in Lisa's case here, Lisa, it might feel in the short term like you're pushing him away, but I'm sure that's because he's feeling that your efforts are actually pulling him closer. And his short-term reaction might be to try to create some space. But if you allow him to have that space, as I'm sure you've heard me talk about before in the program, when someone wants space, when someone's asking for space, when someone's vying for space, the worst thing in the world you can do is to give it to them. I mean, it relates to what we discussed earlier, you know, absence makes the hearts grow fonder. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. If you give him that space, he's going to take it, and he's going to create more space. And he's going to use it to plan his exit. And he's going to use it to emotionally detach from you. And he's going to use it to emotionally attach to somebody else. Don't do it. It won't be helpful.